Hi and welcome to my talk, Your Management Layer Should Be Kettle 2. First of all, who am I? I'm a senior software engineer at Red Hat working on the Foreman project and Red Hat Satellite, especially how to automate workflows around those. I think everybody heard about the pet versus kettle way of handling IT systems over the last 10 years. The old way is to care for servers as pets, giving them name, fixing issues as they arise. While the new way is more aggressively replacing servers when they start to behave inappropriately. But from my personal experience, this is not applied to every system out there, and I truly want to change that. So the idea is that everything should be as easily reproducible and replaceable as possible. And we can achieve this with configuration management, with immutable infrastructure and others. But quite often, we only really apply those to systems we have many of, like worker systems, like web servers. The management systems are often ignored because they exist only once, and we often don't care to be able to replace those. As I work on Foreman, my main target here is Foreman. But please ask yourself more generally, who configures your configuration management? So why do I want even to change this? I like unicorns. I would love to have a unicorn as a pet, really. But having unicorns as computers, no. In some way, cases, you want to deploy a testing environment that is sufficiently similar to your production environment. Or maybe you want to even have a second production environment, or you want to have a lab system on your laptop or in your basement to test out more drastic changes. And some of you might want to just rebuild production from scratch because it has grown and shifted so often that you're not sure it's safe to run the same way any longer because you just don't know what happened to it. And I don't mind which reason you take for changing, but I'd like you to change, and let's look at how we can change. Changing how we handle Foreman is really a two-step process. First, we need to make the initial deployment of the software fully automated. You've done this multiple times before for your web servers and everything, but maybe not for Foreman. And after we've done this, we can go and focus on configuring the various things we need to do inside Foreman. As a nice bonus, if we went all that way, we can take our steps and open source them and make everybody else in the community benefit from our experience. And that's essentially my job here. I'll be using Ansible, mostly because I like its simplicity, but there is nothing that enforces you to use Ansible 2. You can use whatever system you want. The only thing that you will not have in this case is the building blocks that my team and I provide to you for making things easier. So let's look at the first step, making the Foreman installation as automated as possible. In many environments, Foreman will be responsible for creating VMs, installing them, etc. Given that we are building Foreman ourselves right now, we don't have this. So we will need to be able to deploy a fresh and clean machine once. In the lab case, I'll just suggest use Vagrant. It's super simple and it will get your job done. And in the production and testing setups, just use your virtualization environment of choice, click a new fresh VM and go from there. The Foreman project also offers containers for running Foreman, but they have some limitations, and because of that, I will mostly focus on classical VMs today. One thing that I want to point out is you should try to have your environment use the same technology. If you're doing containers, please do containers everywhere. If you're using virtualization, please use virtualization everywhere. Mostly to be as bug compatible as possible when you need to try things out and run into issues. As mentioned for the demo, I'll be using Vagrant, and our production installations are on RHV. And if you ask why VMs versus containers, mostly because Catello is not offered as a container right now, and it essentially forces me to use a VM. So let's see what we need to do to install Foreman on a new VM. It's actually pretty easy. You need to configure a few repositories like STLs if you're running CentOS or RHEL. You need to configure repositories for Foreman and plugins. Then you just install a few packages and run the installer. So the installer will ensure all parts of the systems are configured properly to serve Foreman. Obviously, all those steps are not required in a container environment, as the installer isn't used there and the container already brings you a fully installed Foreman. But we are not going that route today. Those three steps sound rather easy, and we want to make it even easier for you as users. Therefore, we provide an Ansible collection called Foreman Operations, which is supposed to help you with installing and maintaining Foreman. If you tried to manage Foreman with Ansible in the past, you probably noticed we have a repository called Forklift, and this collection is an evolution from this. It's taking what we had in Forklift and making it more usable by the general users that are not our CI environment where Forklift originally comes from. And this allows you also to be as close to the best practices of the projects you can think of. So let's see how an actual and simple installation would look like in Ansible or as an Ansible playbook. And it's really just two invocations of two roles. The first role will go and set up the repositories for you, and the second one will run the installer. You just, as a user, you just need to do two inputs. You need to say it's Foreman version 2.3 you want to deploy, and the installer requires a scenario to differentiate between Foreman and Catello deployments. So 2.3 and Foreman is the input we need here. Installing Catello is as simple. We just add another role that will configure the Catello repositories for us. And we are changing the scenario to Catello. That's it. And if you want to go further and have even more plugins than Catello, sure. Just add installer options as you like and enable Ansible and remote execution here. Obviously, you can also use the same approach to configure other parts of the installation. You can pass any installer option to that role, not just only plugins. So at this point, we have a running Foreman and can go and configure things inside, which is the more interesting part, to be honest. When managing entities inside Foreman, I think it's very crucial to be able to store them in a structured way. And as Foreman doesn't offer a good way for doing it natively, we have Ansible modules that can be fed essentially YAML and manage things for us. Those modules live in the Foreman collection on Ansible Galaxy, and pause. Why am I doing a pause? Need to cut it out. Together with the modules, we also offer roles that are trying to encapsulate full workflows in contrast to single tasks that the modules offer. The roles also come with an opinionated data structure, so you essentially just need to fill it out without inventing anything on your own. So let's look at some examples how data can be structured for being managed in Foreman. Here's a trivial example for creating two domains. This looks like a nice one-off playbook, But as soon as you need to manage many entities, it can become pretty messy. So I would suggest you to go and split things up and have a variables file and a playbook. As soon as we separate data and tasks like this, things become more manageable, and even the current example looks a bit too simple maybe. We can look at the next one, which is more real life from a Catello installation, where we define products and repositories. Repositories in Catello are grouped by product. So to create a repository, you will absolutely have to at least create one product. And in this example here, we create two products. We create CentOS 7 with base, extras, and updates repositories, and Furman client, which is a repository we as a project provide with additional functionality some plugins of ours require. Accidentally, exactly this structure is also what our role expects. So as soon as we have written the structure down, or actually copy-pasted it from the examples in the documentation, we can go and execute the role. In the background, it will create the products and the repositories for us and prepare everything that is needed for those products to be synced. Having products and repositories is the very minimum you need for a consumer to get content from Catello. However, as soon as you want to manage content more granularly, even filter it maybe, you'll end up creating lifecycle environments, content views, and activation keys too. We do offer modules and in some cases even already roles to manage those. More roles are in progress. However, just defining the content is over there is not really sufficient to provide it to clients. You at least need to synchronize the repositories from the upstream URLs, so that Catello knows which packages and which metadata to offer to clients. And also, if you use content views, those will need regular publishing, as they are essentially point-in-time snapshots and you want to update those. You can and should automate those actions. But we need to keep in mind that we are tracking external data here, so executing the same action at a different time in a different environment might result in slightly different content. This isn't bad as such, it's just something that we should be aware of when we're comparing results. And after synchronizing content, we can just let a client consume it. And you'll see exactly this as the demo later on. The next step is maintenance. But wait, there was no step 3 on the agenda. And you can cue the there always was meme here, because maintenance is kind of always required, but just often forgotten to mention and to plan for. And of course, even if it's not strictly planned, we want to make things as easy as possible for you. One thing that you will obviously run into is if you're running Furman in a VM, that at some point you'll have to upgrade it. Furman releases roughly every 3 months, so 4 upgrades a year at least. The process itself is rather simple. You change the repositories, you update all the packages, and you run the installer, which will in turn run database migration and stuff like this. So we can essentially reuse our installation steps with an additional upgrade packages in between. Another important maintenance task that we offer help for you is cleaning up Catello. When you use content views in Catello and publish them quite regularly, you will end up with many content view versions that are unused because you moved on already. But they're still present in the database. And nobody needs those old content snapshots from 2 years ago. But they take up space and also require like if you run a database migration that touches content use, they will also be touched. So you rather should get rid of them. And as a bonus, if you clean them up nicely, this will also drastically improve your pulp 2 to pulp 3 migration that is currently going on in Catello, because it will have to migrate all the data, like all the content views to a new data structure. And if you don't have that much data, it's quicker to migrate. So let's see what's left for the future. In the operations collection, we do want to finalize the repository configuration. It's not as nice as it could be right now. And we also want to offer proxy deployments for Foreman proxy. It's currently not easily possible to do this with a collection. On the configuration side, we are still lacking features compared to the UI and the CLI, and we need to close those gaps, especially around provisioning, where configuring different compute resources is still something that we have not completely closed out yet. And now it's time for the demo. This is the repository I've been talking about. It's called Destructive Builds because you can destroy and recreate them all the time, right? It contains a Vagrant file that we will see later for my lab to spin up machines there. It contains a requirements YAML for Ansible to fetch our dependencies from Ansible Galaxy. And because not all of our roles are in a collection yet, we also have a submodule for Forklift to pull in the roles that are not ported yet. When we're done building out the collections, this should be gone and you should get everything you need from Galaxy, but right now it's not yet the case. So let's have a look what we actually have in the requirements. It's, as mentioned earlier, it's just two collections. It's operations for the installation part and the foreman for the part of configuring stuff inside of Foreman. The Vagrant file that I'll be using for my lab is also rather simple. It contains two machines. One machine is the Foreman instance that I'll be spinning up. It has 8 GB of RAM and 4 CPUs because the defaults are too small to get Foreman running properly. And it will be using the Ansible provisioner of Vagrant to run my playbook. Obviously, if you're running outside of Vagrant, you can run the same playbook just fine. And the second box is the client machine that is using mostly defaults. And again, it's using an Ansible provisioner with the client playbook, which is shown later. The main playbook that is used for deploying Foreman with plugins is mostly what we've seen in slides, but now not only chunks of them, but all together. The first step is we configure repositories because we need them, obviously. And we run the installer with the prerequisite that we also install the Catello package, which the installer today doesn't do yet. As soon as the installer is finished, we can go on and configure repositories inside of Foreman. So it's loading everything from our vars file, so you don't see the actual repository definition just yet here in the view. After defining the repositories, it will go and sync them once. There is currently a role for making this easier in the working. And the same also applies for content views and composite content views. It's currently not role supported, so we have to write it out right now, but it will be soon. After the content views are created, we publish them once so that they can be referred from a client machine, And the very last step is to create an activation key, which will then allow a client to consume content. And it's pointing to exactly this content we have created and published here. To see that it's actually doing this, we can look at the variables file that I've created. It starts with the versions that we are deploying. It's Furman 2.3 and Catello 3.8. We then give it a name because we need to refer to it in a few places. We give installer options like username and password, but also that we want to enable plugins for Ansible and for remote execution, so we can show off the features of that later. We have our products defined mostly by having the same stuff that we've seen also in the slides. It defines CentOS and Furman client for CentOS 7. So a basic CentOS machine can then go and consume that. Right now, we also have to write out the content views because they need to be created. There is work in progress to make this more easy so that you can just say, create me content views from my products, but it's not done yet. So right now it's still a more manual step. And the last one is obviously the definition of the activation key, again, referring to the very same stuff, CentOS and Furman client. And for the client, I've said that I also have a small playbook. It's really, really simple. It's just install the certificate authority from Catello. This is required to actually be able to talk to Catello properly. Subscribe the machine to Catello by giving its activation key, and then deploy the SSH key of the Furman installation on the machine so that I can run Ansible and remote execution jobs from Furman. And with that, we can go and switch over and deploy this whole stack once in Vagrant and see how it works. Let's see what we have here. We have the two machines defined but not yet created, as we've seen in the Vagrant file. And if we go and call Vagrant up on the Furman box, it will create a new CentOS 7 VM for me and deploy and configure Furman inside of it. Given it will take some time to install and sync repositories, I will speed up the video from here a bit so you do not want you do not have to watch me watching a terminal window for so long. And now that our deployment of Furman is done, we can also get a client machine up and running. This takes not as much time as the Furman, obviously. And we can go and SSH into that machine to see that it's actually properly working for us now. We can remove all the original CentOS repositories because we are now getting ours from Furman. We see that we have the repositories getting synced from Furman. We can also install a package and it works just fine. And while it installs Vim, we can go and see in the browser that after we have logged in to our instance that we just deployed, that obviously the instance itself is working, but also that we have the newly created machine in our inventory. And we can also go and schedule a job on that machine if you want to. Let's, for example, remove a package. That's something that you probably want to do every now and then. And given that we have installed Vim just now, we can remove it. So we see here, Vim is present. And if we go and execute this job, it will remove the package again. It's successful. And if you now go to the machine again, Vim is gone. That's it from the demo side. And now I'll have a few links for you and you can ask me questions. Thank you. The first link is the destructive builds repository that I've used as a demo here. It contains all the files that you need to reproduce what I've shown. Forklift is the repository that hosts our old roles that we are currently moving over to the operations collection, or at least those that are useful in the operations collection. And the Foreman Ansible collection is the one responsible for actually doing stuff inside of Foreman. And with that, I say thank you very much, and I'm open here for your questions.